Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, thank you for being here this morning and being a part of our service. We're going to be talking about dads today. This is the Sunday we get to beat up on each other. Okay. Take your Bibles and be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'd advise you to do that. It's a great text. It's something if you have not written down in your Bible or hadn't, I guess you highlighted in your Bible, it'd be a good time to do it now. If we go through here, it's very important scripture. It was given to Israel, but it's something that we can carry over in today also, and it means a lot to us, and what I think is one of the most important things we can do in life with our children. And so today the message is what dad am I? What dad am I? And we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 11 there, and we're going to start in verse 18. It talks about the importance of God's Word. And so God's Word, you have to understand, you have to come to realization, it's our ally. It's something that we can take and use to help us, I guess, make our case as being a dad. It talks about what's right and wrong, and it's always good. You know, when you're raising children, they're always wanting to know, you know, well, when do you think that, or when do you say that? Like, well, it's always good to have a backup, and the backup is that's what God's Word says. And so that should be, God's Word should be the authority of our lives, and it should set our worldview. It should be why we teach our children like we do and how we follow through on the things that we do. And so it gives us an understanding of who God is, and it helps us to be more like Him is what it does. And so it's scripture here. And through my Bible, or one of my Bibles, I've went through and I talk about what we're to do with God's Word. And so I'm gonna go back after I get through reading it, and I'll tell you that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting there in verse 18. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds and tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children and talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. And then he goes on in verse 21 and tells us what the results of that is. It says, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens and earth are above. And so as you look here, look at what it says here. Here's some things you ought to underline. Here's some things that I've underlined. The first thing it says, fix these words. Then it says, tie them. Then it says, bind them. And in verse 19, it says, teach them. In verse 19, it says, talk about them. And then in verse 20, it says, what? Write them. And so it gives us an outline here of what we're to do with the Word of God. And so here, what we're seeing here is how important God's Word is this. And what it is the reason it is to be a reminder. I mean, we know that when, you know, Israel went into the promised land, that they had other people there, foreign people there, and they understood that all those foreign gods and the things that they worshiped, and they were going to appeal to the flesh and pull them away from the things of God. And so what we're doing here is this. You're saying what? He's saying what? Make sure that you continuously teach and talk about and live out the things of God. Because one, if you don't, then you're going to stray. And we know as Israel did, they did stray. And we have to understand it. But what we have to understand today, how it applies to our lives, is we'll stray also, and our families will stray. When we get away from the Word of God, then it'll be a time that we begin to stray because the world is appealing to the flesh. And that's the way that people drive. That's the way that people go. They walk away into the flesh of things. And that'll be true of our children. So we as dads and moms, I'm saying parents here today also, but on Father's Day, especially the fathers, we have to understand, we have to keep the Word of God in front of our families. And the only way we do that is keep it in front of ourselves. And so it's important that we do that. And so in the opening there, look at what it says here. It says what? It says, what is your definition of dad? Well, your definition of dad, what it is that it's your responsibility as a parent. It's what your role model is. And so most of us, if we looked at those things about our dad, we got our role model from our dad. And some of the things that we got from our dad were good things. Some of the things we got from our dad were bad things. And so we have to learn through the teachings of Scripture, we have to sort those things out and say, what are some things that I need to follow that he did, and what are some things that I need to kind of discard? And I learned some lessons from him, but all of them are not good lessons. And so we all have that. And so our kids will be able to say the same thing about our lives as we walk through it. But it shows our role as a parent. It shows us how important it is. And so today what we're talking about, when you come into church, you don't hear this anywhere else, but when you come into church, I'm wanting to talk about our spiritual role as a dad. I'm not talking about all the other things that we can get involved in, and those things are important also, but I'm talking about the spiritual role as dad and how important that is to our kids. See, we have a lot of men that don't man up when it comes to spiritual things. they think, okay, everything's okay. I'm going to take them hunting. I'm going to take them fishing. I'm going to teach them this. I'm going to teach them how about finances. I'm going to teach them about women and how to stay away from them and all that kind of things. But, you know, and so I'm going to teach them a lot of things. But when it comes to talking about God, you know, we say, well, you know, that's above my pay grade. I mean, you know, I'm not going to fall into that category. But what we have to understand is in God's view, our responsibility as dads is our number one priority is to teach them about God. And how we do that is we show our love for God, we show our love for our wives, but also we show our love for them, as the Scriptures tell us to. And so what I'm doing here is this is very simple outline. I could have thought of 100 things, and these things, and I've read these different things, but what I'm doing today is I see seven kinds of dads sitting out here today, and seven kinds of dads in the world, and there's multiple, but there's seven kinds. And so what I'm doing today is you analyze yourself, and you see what kind of a dad or what kind of parent, if you're a mother or you're sitting out there, what kind of parent are you today? So which kind of dad are you? The first thing is I didn't know it was my job, Dad. Run into them all the time. I didn't know it was my job, Dad. And basically what it's saying here is many really don't understand how the value of spiritual things, what it means to us. It's very important how we set a direction in our worldview of life and how our life turns out, but the spiritual things of life. In Proverbs 22, we like to claim this as a promise, train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not turn from it. Well, that's not always true. You know, Proverbs have never always just been promises. It's just cliches. It gives us the truth. But what it's saying here is we teach our kids the spiritual values of life, then that will ingrain in them. It should have an outcome on their lives. And so what I'm saying is it's more to life than just making a living and teaching our kids how to do that. We have to understand that. We have to understand that it's important. And so we make a living, and we do those things, and I put a house, I put a roof over their head, and most dads do that also, and I do all those things, but the spiritual values are the most important thing. And men, what you have to understand is you're to be the spiritual leaders of your home. I mean, that's what God's called you. It's your responsibility, and you're supposed to be that. I mean, you're supposed to be teaching the Word of God and carrying your family to church and being the man that God calls us to be is what God expects out of us, and He wants us. And so that's not just getting out the Bible. And when I talking about spiritual things and things like that, it's not just getting out the Bible and teaching them a biblical truth, which that should be something that we do. What it is and what he's saying here in Deuteronomy is it's living life biblically as you walk along in life. Look what he says there in verse 19. He says, what? Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you what? Sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. And so in all aspects of our lives and all different types of the things that we do in life, we have to understand that we need to be teaching our kids godly principles. So it's not just taking out a Bible and reading some scripture, which that's a good thing to do, but it's as we live our lives. I call it, what would Jesus do living is what I like to call it. I mean, what would Jesus do in this situation? And look for those teachable moments when you see things. And so I, like you, I use all kind of illustrations to my kids as they were growing up. But what we need to understand more than anything, we need to use biblical illustrations and what God has taught us through His Scriptures as He's taught us through the lives of other people, and we need to understand that. And so the first thing we have to understand is so many dads don't think it's their job, but it is our job. And all through the Word of God, it tells us the importance and the value it is of men, of raising godly families and leading godly families, and that comes through spiritual things. The second thing is this. I hear this all the time too. I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to do. That's you know, I don't know where to start, Dad. It's what we call that. And how I say this is this: where do you start? You start praying. You start asking God to give you some directions, and then you start with a Bible study, a short Bible study. I was watching Adrian Rogers a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking on the same subject, and he talked about many dads and many families say, well, I don't know how to do a Bible study in my home. And he says, one of the things that we did is we'd just sit at the kitchen table, and we'd just take the Proverbs, and we'd let one of our kids just pick out a proverb and read a proverb and say, okay, let's talk about that. And they just began to discuss what that proverb meant to them and things like that. And so that's just a very easy way to do it, but it's a way to start, okay? It's a way to start having a spiritual conversation and start having some type of a Bible study. And the Proverbs are for what? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And I think we all need that in our lives. And so it's something good to start with. And so just read a proverb and begin to talk about that. One of the things that I'd say is this, especially those of you that are young, and it's get you a good Bible commentary. It helps you to explain the Bible. It helps you to understand the Bible for yourself that you can explain that. You know, Mona and I, as we were our boys, we used a lot of Focus on the Family material. James Dobson and them, they still put out all kinds of great material. If you don't know, I mean, just go, go in and Google, you know, a focus on the family. They've got all kinds of teaching tools for you as parents and things like that can help you sit down. And they're very easily to use. They don't take a lot of time because they know when you have little ones running around, they're not going to sit and listen to a long preaching message. They're just going to have a short time. So it gives you those illustrations. And so how do you start? You just start praying and saying, God, show me something. Give me something. And today what I'm giving is just start with a proverb. You know, you've got 31 of them. Just pick out, just let your kids or you pick out one proverb and sit down and talk about it daily as you get ready to eat lunch or eat breakfast or something like that. And it gets you a start. Then the third thing is this. The third one is this, is I'll let someone else do it for me. I'll let someone else do it for me. And that's a lot of dads do that. And it's kind of goes back to the thing. And where we usually throw the weight is we throw the weight on their mother. We think, well, you know, they're supposed to be the spiritual ones of the house. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Mothers are supposed to be spiritual, but also the men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the house. But also they do what? Well, let the trained professionals do that. That's why I carry them to church for. Hear that all the time. Well, myself or Mark or the children's folks can tell you that we have maybe an hour or two a week with your children. And that's not enough to instill in them what the Bible says and how important spiritual values are. And so, yes, we have a part to play. The church has a part to play. But the biggest role is your role. And so you have to understand that. So a lot of people is saying, what? Let somebody else do that. Well, listen, it'll never work like that. Because why? Because they don't see the value of in your house, how valuable it is in you. And so, you know, I come from the motto, what? Don't send your kids to church, carry your kids to church. Amen? And that we have to need to understand that. And that's how important it is that we need to be carrying our families and showing how important it is to us. They need to see the importance in my life of what Scripture is and what the Word of God means and how Scripture and the Word of God shapes my worldview. How does it shape? Where do I get my worldview? All of us have a worldview. It's how we look at the world. And the Bible should be how we look at the world through the biblical eyes and how we see things. And why do so many people see the world in different ways? It's because of their worldview. And so we as parents need to understand that the Bible shapes our worldview and how we see God and how we see the other people around us and how we see this world and what it's about. And so it needs to be important to us. And so it's our worldview. And what makes things right and wrong? You know, we've been going through a series on Wednesday nights and talking about, you know, is there really truth? And, you know, what makes things true? What makes things right and wrong? That comes from our worldview. And if we don't have a Christian worldview, then that can be distorted. We can't explain the truth and we begin to just make up things and try to live life like that. But our biblical worldview comes from what? When we study the Word of God and see how important the value of God's Word is not only to our life, but also to our family's lives. And so most dads do what? They figure out this. If I just drop my kids off at the right place, at the right time, with the right people, then everything's going to work out right. Well, that's not usually true. Because why? Because when they go home, if that's not the value they're seeing in the home, then that begins to shift and focus their value. That because why? They spend a whole lot more time with you than they do with us. And you need to understand that. And so how do you monitor those things? It's what you watch on TV. It's what comes out of your mouth, you know. It's the places that you go and the music that you listen to. All those things they're showing your values to your kids. They're showing what's important to you. They're showing, you know, they're coming to church and hearing one thing and they're going home and hearing something else. Then if what? It begins to do what? It begins to confuse them. And so they've got to make up their mind. And how most of the world goes, it goes along with the flesh because that's what appealing to them. And they're drawn into the flesh. And so it's not just about dropping them off at the right place. It's doing what? It's instilling those values in their lives. And how do we do that? We get them into our own lives. We put them in our own lives. And so they see what's valuable to us. They see that what? Coming to church is valuable. They see that we put off everything else to come to God's house because we understand the truth, how important it is to our life. We put off other things to do what? To do things that are godly. And we don't watch certain things on TV. And we don't listen to certain things on the radio. And we don't go to certain places because why? Because our biblical values tells us that's not where I need to be and that's not what I need to be doing. And don't apologize for that. I mean, so many times now, parents, the church has got called into this trap of where we're trying to appeal to the world, and how we do that, we're trying to be more like the world. That's not what we should be. You know, we should be doing what? We should be more godly, not more worldly, and that's what our kids need to see. I've never made an apology to my kids of having biblical values in our homes. And you don't need to also. What does your home need to look like? Well, it needs to be a place that honors God. If Jesus showed up and knocked on the door, you ought not have to hide a bunch of stuff where he walked in the door. Amen? You know? It ought to have, when you walk in there, it ought to have scripture verses on the wall and things like that, you know. I mean, when they walk in, there ought to be a Bible laying around where, and it's not just there to show people, it's there that you're actually reading it and going through it, because it's the center place of your home. You lay things around, you put things on your wall showing what's important to me in life, what scripture is, Bible is, biblical things is, and it shows our worldview. And so you're just not trying to do it just to try to, I guess you'd say, to be a phony. You're doing it because it's what's important to you. And it shows your kids the value of who God is and how important it is in your life also. And so the next one is, the fourth one is who am I to talk, Dad? And man, here's a big one. We all get caught in this trap here. Who am I to talk? Who am I to say something like this? I mean, who? And where this comes from is it comes from our lifestyle. Is that we're not living the lifestyle we know we shouldn't be living, so it's hard for us to tell anybody else what to do because we know we're not living it in our own lives. And that's true sometimes. We hear it all the time. You know, don't tell them what they need to do, show them what they need to do. You know, do as I say, not as I do. Well, we all know that's a hypocrite and that's phony, and none of us want to act like we don't want to fall into that trap. And so what I'm saying is what? We need to get our lives in a situation that we're what? That we do what? That we live a life that we can stand and say, thus saith the Lord. This is what you need to be doing. This is the kind of life that you need to be living. And so a lot of people do that. And so we have to understand in Romans 3:23, it tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, none of us measure up. Because why? Because we all have sin in our lives. I have sin in my lives. You know, and so what we have to understand is this, we're not perfect, but we can be genuine. We can understand how the importance of God, of Scripture is, and how important the things of God is, and we can teach that to our children. And what happens is that we begin to say, "Well, you know, I'm dealing with issues in my own life, man. How am I to tell anybody else what they're to do?" Well, let me tell you, I come behind a pulpit every week, and I can assure you that I'm dealing with issues in my life just like you are. Okay. I mean, we don't live in where we don't have any problems in our family. We don't have any problems in our home. It's not like that at all. So I'm dealing with issues, and you're dealing with issues. But we can't use that guilt. We can't use that as an excuse not to raise our children in godly homes and saying, "Yes, I've made some mistakes. Yes, I mean, but the Bible." We've talked about this before. The Bible does what? It shows all the bumps and the bruises of people that we respect in the Bible. It shows their mistakes and all the things that they've done to do what? To train us and teach us lessons. And so when we're trying to train our kids, what do? We do what? We show them what? We show them the mistakes the biblical characters made and how they made mistakes and how God came through for them as they turned to Him. But also we use ourselves as example. You know, we have to get past, after our kids are so old, we have to get past to where my daddy can do anything to anyone, anywhere, anytime. You know, my dad can do everything. You know, he's a superhero. Well, you have to get past that. I mean, that's we like that for a while, but after they grow a little bit older, they begin to realize, well, Dad, he made a mistake, or he did this, or he did that, or he couldn't do that. He had to get somebody else to help him. And what we have to understand is we have to let our kids know that we're not perfect and we're not superheroes. We're just people. And we make mistakes, and as they grow and they get older, what we do is you sit down with them and you talk about some of the mistakes that you've made in life and some of the things that you've done in life, and you talk about how God got you through those things and how, yes, that maybe there's some price tags of that, and maybe you've got some scars and things in your life and some things that you're not proud of in your life, but God saw you through those things as you turned it over to the Lord and let Him work through those things. Our kids need to see that in our lives. It's not something that are some of our best teachable moments are in the difficult times of our life, but also in the difficult times of their lives. And so if you always stand up in front of them and make them think that you're some kind of a superhero or you're perfect, then you're never going to get to that point in your life. And so what? You have to understand that. And so guilt does what? Guilt shuts us down when we have difficulties in our lives and we're not living up to the standards that we know is right. Guilt shuts us down because what? Because we're not living a life to be able to tell anybody else about it. But we have to understand we have to overcome that. Why do we do the right thing? It's because it's the right thing to do. And when we live out that kind of a life, that gives us a reason. That gives us an excuse to be able to tell our family, and not only them, but other people around us, what kind of a life that we ought to be living. So it gives us a reason. It gives us the importance of who God is and how valuable He is to our lives and how we raise our families. The fifth thing is this, And we all fall into this also, and I fell into it to some degree. Well, I've got plenty of time, Dad. I've got plenty of time, you know. We don't realize, you know, until you have children that are teenagers, and then all of a sudden they're out of the home, you don't realize how quick that passes. I mean, you know, you have children, and what we have to understand is the older they get, the less influence you have. I mean, there's some of you sitting here today, and you know, you didn't start out early with your children in church. You know, now they're older, and all of a sudden you begin to start coming to church when they were teenagers. What? And what does that do? That rules without relationship lead to what? Anybody know? Rules without relationship lead to what? Anybody know? Rebellion, right? So your kids are rebelling. I mean, what's this God thing, man? I mean, that's something for you, but it's not anything for me. And so, but when you start out young in their lives, and you grow them up in the church, and they understand the Bible stories, and they understand that principle, and they see your worldview and the biblical values that you're living by, it's easier to mold and shape them. Okay, and you have to understand that. And so many times, what happens is we think, well, I've got plenty of time. We're going to get started someday. And so, you know, but right now is not soon enough. You need to start now, because why? It takes a lifetime to raise a kid in the spiritual influences of God. Because why? There's so many other things pulling against them out there. There's so many things out there pulling against us. And so someone is influencing our kids right now. And what I'm saying is, if you're living that kind of a life that's God-honoring, then it should be you and your family. And they should be getting what they're learning from you and not from someone else. And so, and how do we do that? It's living a life based on truth. It's showing the value and the importance of God's word and the value of the church and how important it is to us. And so many people just play games at church, and your kids can understand that. If you know, I've done this before in surveys and things like, if you asked your kids what's the most important thing in your life, what would they say? Well, let me tell you what would they say about what's most important in your life? Would it be money? Would it be material things? Or would it be the family? Would it be your job? Would it be your position? Would it be a sport or some kind of a habit or a hobby? What's the most important? Well, again, how do you measure that? Talk about it all the time. Your time, your talents, and your treasures. Where you spend those things at, okay? What you give your life to tells what's important in your life. And you're telling your kids by that. So it's not saying, oh, yeah, we're Christians, we go to church, we do this, but, you know, but if anything else comes up now, we're gonna do that. We'll go when we can, or we'll read the Bible when we can, but it's not our top priority. Well, your kids know that. And so you have to move that up to the top priority. You have to move it up to where it really makes a difference, and they have understand. When someone asks them about what's important to you in your life, they understand that God's right there at the top in their life and your life, and you have to understand that. The sixth thing is this, and this is easy to fall into, and I talk to people like this all the time also, is that my kids are too far gone. My kids are too far gone is what they're saying. And so, and it's what? But you have to understand, regardless of how old your kids are, there's always hope. There's always a sense of hope there that you can direct them, you can turn them. And so I was talking to someone here not long ago, and they're older in life, and they've not lived a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, and now they regret it. Their family has fallen apart, and their kids have gone. Their kids are gone a different way, and so now, you know, I was sitting and talking with them, and they were telling me, you know, about how they regretted what they did and the lifestyle that they lived, and how they seen why their family was where it was at now, and they blamed themselves, and rightfully so, because they had lived that kind of a life and done those things in front of their kids, and now they're seeing their kids fall into that trap, same trap that they've had. And now they've kind of woken up now. And then it's like, oh me, what have I done? Where am I at? And so I began to talk to them and say, you know, what are some things that you can do? Well, here it is. When we understand that, there's always a sense of hope. And that's one of the things that I tried to instill in. There's always a sense of hope. And so look out here today. If we ask some of you today, how many of you were saved late in your life? I mean, you were, you know, in your 30s or in your 40s or in your 50s. I saw a video this week on one of the Christian things. They were baptizing a man that was 100 years old. Amen? He got saved and baptized him. 100 years old, man. He put it off as long as he could, didn't he? I mean, man. But 100 years old, they baptized him. I'd be afraid I'd drown him. But anyway, but they baptized. But I'm saying, let's don't wait that long, okay? Because what I have to look back, and I'm sure this man, if he truly understands Scripture and he really gets into the church, he'll have to look back, and he'll have to look back and see all the things that he missed. He missed so many of the good things in life, of raising his family in a biblical place, of reading the Bible and teaching them truths and things like that. So he might be saved and baptized now at 100 years old, but I was thinking, as I'd been preparing his message, I wonder where his family's at. I wonder where his family, I wonder how many of them are saved. I wonder how many of them are in church. I wonder how many of them read the Bible. I wonder where they're at, you know. And so, yes, praise God that he got in, okay, but wonder how much of his family is going to get in because he didn't have any kind of a spiritual influence in his life. And so we have to understand that. And so it matters, and we have to understand. But it's not too far like. So what do you do? This is what I told this guy. I told him this. I said, well, his kids don't really want to. He's tried to talk to his kids. He's went and apologized to them and things like that. And he's sincere about his faith now. He's in church and doing these things and reading his Bible and all these different things. And I told him, I said, well, one of the things that I counsel people is this, especially when people are older and things like that, is to sit down and write them a letter. Because a lot of people won't listen to you. I mean, if you try to have a biblical conversation or a spiritual conversation, they just won't turn you out. Oh, I don't want to hear that. You know, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. Lala. But if you sit down and you really think out and you really put this in a letter and you think, and the first thing is start out with apology and saying, I'm so sorry that I've waited this long to let you understand what's really important in life. This is something that I've known, you know, this is something this man has known all his life, but he didn't apply it to his life. And now his family is in turmoil because, why? He didn't have those biblical principles laid out in his home. And so write him a letter and let them read how much it means to you and how much you care about them. And you're doing this because you love them and you care about them. And you don't want them to see them make the same mistakes that you made in life. Amen? And that's what our hopes are for our kids. All of us sit here. We want their lives to be better than ours. We want to have it better. Well, how you do that? You instill biblical principles in their life is what you do. And so, start taking some of the blame that you deserve, and then do what? Then begin to go on and tell them that not to live that kind of a life, that they don't raise your grandkids in that kind of a home, and if your grandkids see the same thing. So now you've still got an opportunity to make an influence in their life, regardless of how old they are. You still have an opportunity to make an influence in your grandkids' life, regardless of how old they are. And so we have to understand it. And so don't let them go through life playing the victim. Well, you know, my family didn't raise me in church, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I didn't know the importance of it, and all those things. Well, let me tell you why. We have a world of people that live in a victim mentality, where they think I'm the victim, and that's not what I was. And we see that all the time now. You know, we're living in the Bible Belt, as we call that in America. But now, as we bring these kids in our vans and our buses and things, and we're talking to them about God, they know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about God. They know nothing about Jesus Christ. They know nothing, and that's right here in the South. You know, and we have to understand. And you spread out past here, it's even worse. It gets even worse. And so, it's our responsibility as dads and moms too. To do what? To raise our kids, helping them to understand the importance of spiritual values and what it means to us. And we have to understand that. Then the last one is this. The seventh thing is this. If we talk all these different things, and all these things are somewhat, I guess you'd say, negative. But what I want to do is I'm wanting you to analyze yourself and say, you know, where am I as a dad? You know, hey, Brother Nathan, I'm here, man, it's Father's Day. I'm in church, got my family church. And that's great. I'm glad to have you here, okay? But how far does it get past that? I mean, when you walk out that door, is that where it stops? Is this all there is to God with you is right here? That your family never sees you read the Bible? You know, they never, if when you do a teachable moment, they never hear you use biblical truths to teach. Do they never know, understand what your worldview and where it comes from? Is that as far as it goes, you know? Well, let me tell you what. If that's true, that's not far enough. Because that won't get you very far. Your family needs to see that your worldview and your values come from a biblical basis. Because why? Because that's what you believe. That's the truth. And that's how you're living it out day by day. And so it shows up in your home life. It shows up in when you do a sport or when you do a hobby or a habit or anything else in your life. It shows up because why? My dad doesn't do this, or my dad does this because why? Because he believes the Bible. And he's living out biblical principles. And that's not anything that you ought to ever make an apology for. I told our boys as we grew up and they began to get older and they began to go to other homes and other places, I began to tell them, listen, everybody's house is not like our house, okay? Everybody's home's not like our house. They might watch different things and they might talk different ways and they might do different things, but that don't mean we're going to do them. Amen? You know? And you need to make a stand on that. Don't apologize for that. I'm not embarrassed for living my life for God. I'm not embarrassed by my world standards and my biblical standards. There's things places I don't go and things I don't listen to and things I don't watch. Because why? Because I'm centered on God, and that's the truth. Then I want my family to know that. And I'm not apologizing for that. And I'm not sorry that I've done that. And so the seventh thing is this. It's the intentional dad. That's where we need to be. All of us, we need to be the intentional dad. And not only that, but also the intentional mom. And what does that mean? What that means is that we know what matters most in life. And we don't understand, we want to be a positive influence on our kids and the people that are around us. And we do that in a positive way. We don't have to be harsh and hard and ugly. See, listen, living a Christian life can be fun. Amen? If your family and your basis is on the Bible and your worldview is biblical, that doesn't mean that you don't have any fun. I have far more fun now than I ever did in the world side because why? I'm not doing something illegal or immoral. I don't get up in the morning feeling guilty about it. And I'm not ashamed of what I've done and things like that. And so we have to understand that. And our life can still be enjoyable. And that's what we have to understand. That's what we have to show our kids. And what we're doing when we're living an intentional life, what we're doing is this. We're showing our kids what really matters most. And what matters most when it comes to our personal lives, and what matters most when it comes to our, I guess you'd say, our family life, and also our life outside of our family, what matters most is where we stand on the things of God and the Word of God. In our worldview, we're not going to back up and we're not going to apologize for being godly because what? That's what means most of our lives. And so I thought about it this week, and you know, I'm always kidding about telling Mona what to put on my tombstone, and so I'm going to have a monument instead of a tombstone. But if I had one thing and I wanted to put on my tombstone was this, and this is what I say, this is probably the most important thing you can teach your children right here. And so I'd say that's pretty important. I'd say this is what I feel like, Brother Nate feels like, is one of the most important things that you can teach your children is this right here, and it's that verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's the verse that I say is my favorite verse. Everybody's got a favorite verse. That's my favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And why is that true? Because it lays out in a couple of verses here how important it is to keep our life centered on the things of God. And so when you understand the true value and you understand the purposes of God and you have a passion about those things, then you're going to live this kind of a life. And I keep coming back to this all the time. And listen to what it says. And here's one of those places you ought to have marked in your Bible. Here's another place you ought to have these things underlined and make them a principle in your life. It says what? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's that mean? When it says all your heart, it means sincerity. It means that that's first place. That means that it has a sense of value. It's important to you. And then it goes on, it says, and lean not on your understanding. That doesn't mean that you don't have a gut feeling every now and then, but it says, don't live your life off your gut feeling. Make sure that it lines up biblically, it lines up spiritually with other people, and you're leaning on God and not just yourself. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then in verse 6 it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. That means that you're asking God, God, what do you think about this? What is the right direction? Where should I go? Where should I turn? What should I do? That's a question we're all asking every day of our lives, because our life is made up of choices. And you hear me say all the time, we make choices and our choices make us. And that's what our life is based on. Your life, where you're at right now in life, is based on the choices that you made. You make bad choices, bad things happen. You make good choices, most time good things happen to you. And we have to understand it. So it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. And it says here, and here's the promise that comes along with it. He will make your path straight. That doesn't mean you're not ever going to have any problems. That doesn't mean you're not going to have any difficulties. What it means is He's going to keep you going in the right direction. Because why? Because you're centering your life on Him. When you trust Him, when you lean on Him, and when you acknowledge Him, that means that you're putting Him first. And God's directing your life, and He's leading in your life. And why is that? Why do I feel that's most important? Because that's what I ask of my kids. When my boys come and ask me for some kind of advice about something, I'll say, you need to pray about it. You know, ask God about it. God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's made you. He's molded you. And He's got it all figured out and all laid out. And all you got to do is just get in with Him, you know. And listen, and God's not trying to hide it from us. See, I mean, a lot of you, well, Brother Nathan, this is what I hear. If I knew the will of God, then I would do it. Well, let me tell you what. Start with what you know, okay? That's what I always tell people. You've heard me say that before, too. Start with what you know. It's God's will for you to read the Bible. You know it's God's will for you to be saved. You know it's God's will for you to be in church. You know it's God's will for you to pray. You know all those things. And so start with the small things that you know what God's will is, and then all of a sudden He'll begin to reveal those big truths that you're asking. You know, where should I go to school? Where should I get a job? Who should I marry? All these different things. I mean, then He begins to reveal those truths. And so what do we do there? How important is it? It's very important. And so, it pleases me that my boys will come and say, well, what about this, Dad? But listen, Dad don't always know, okay? Dad don't always know. But I know one that does know, amen? I know the one I can point them to is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his advice is better than my advice, and we need to always understand that. And so my best advice to my boys would be this, is you need to, this verse needs to be a life verse for you. It needs to be a life verse for all of us. And so look at what it says here in closing. What kind of dad, listen here, not what kind of dad are you, but what kind of dad do you want to be? You come in here this morning and you fall in one of those steps there. But what I'm saying today before you leave here is, what kind of dad do you want to be? Well, see, you have to be intentional before you can change. And the only way you can change is to get in the Word of God and do the things of God you know to do and be that kind of a dad that hopefully that you want to be. And the lesson to learn today is, my kids are watching. Your kids are watching. Your grandkids are watching. The people around you are watching. And you have an influence in their lives. You're setting a course. You're setting a direction. And although the preacher might tell them, and although Brother Mark might tell them, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth, when they go home, are they hearing the same thing, or are they hearing something else? Are they seeing something else and saying, oh, you know, man, we don't want to get too religious. You know, we don't want to go too far. Let me tell you what, friend. In the world we're living in today, we need to all go further than we are and get closer to the things of God. And then the application today is this, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start. For some of you, and you've got little folks today, and you're in perfect timing. Right now is a great time to start, because you can never start too early, because you have more influence on them right now than you'll ever will. As they grow older, you get less and less influence in their lives, you know. But what you have to understand is, regardless of how late in life it is that maybe you're sitting here today and say, Brother Nathan, if I had it to do over again, you know, and there's some of us sitting in this room today, if I had it to do over again, this is what I'd do, you know. Well, what you need to do is, you need to go have that talk, you know. And I'm not talking about the sex talk. It's probably too late for that, okay? You should have had that a long time ago anyway, okay? What I'm talking about is, you need to have the God talk. And you need to say, listen, I'm not the father that I know I needed to be. That I know that my spiritual values were not where they needed to be, and I know that my life wasn't going in the direction it needed to be. And I want to say I'm sorry about that. And that's a hard thing to say. I apologize. I've made a mistake. But see, it takes a man to do that. See, anybody live like the world, but it takes a man to do those things. I've made some mistakes in my life, and I apologize for those things. But now I want to show you what the most important thing you can ever do with your life is: live it for the Lord Jesus Christ and give your life to Him. And so it's never too late to start those things. Maybe you need to write that letter today and send it off to your kids. Maybe they won't talk to you. Or maybe, you know, they're a long way from you, or something like that. Or maybe they don't want to listen to you. You've tried to do that God talk with them, but they won't listen to you. Sit down and write that letter and say, hey, this is important to me. You say, well, Brother Nathan, they'd freak out if they ever got a letter. I've never wrote anybody a letter. Well, listen, let them freak out. That's what needs to happen. It needs to be a shakeup. It needs to be something. This is important. This is different. This means something to me, you know, because it's something of great value to us, our biblical concept and how we pass it on. It's what we call our legacy. We're leaving a legacy. And what do I want my kids to know about me? What do I want my kids to know is important in my life? I want them to know it's God. That's the most important thing in my life, and it should be the most important thing in their life. It's God, God, God. And we need to be the ones to teach them those things. Where does it start at? For some of you today, it starts with your salvation, that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're sitting here today and you say, Brother, I don't even know where to start. You don't know where to start because you've never started. See, getting saved is not the end of something. Getting saved is the beginning of something. And you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so how do you do that? First of all, you admit that you're a sinner. You know, that's not hard to do. And then you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. And then you confess Him as your what? As you confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And what you're doing, you're saying, God, I'm giving my life to You. I'm turning from my sinful ways, and I'm turning my life over to You, and now I want to live for You. And when we do that, it's called putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says what? That God will save us. In Romans 10:9, it says what? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be what? Saved. You will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. And so, have you ever called on the name of the Lord? For some of you, that's where you need to start at, right there, and get your life right with God. And then you can begin to help your family get right with God. For some of you, it's becoming back to God. You know what you need to be doing. You've been saved before. It was a time in your life, maybe you were interested in the Bible things, that you were hungry for God, you were in church, you were doing the right things, and all of a sudden you begin to drift. Maybe it was a financial situation, maybe it was a family problem, maybe it was a health problem, but all of a sudden you begin to drift away from the things of God. You need to come back to those things and bring your family back to those things, you know. But whatever your problem is, whatever your situation is, the day is the day that we come back to God. And Father's Day is a great day to do that, because you might not think that you have a big influence on your family, but I can assure you that you do, because they are watching and they're listening to you. And in certain ways, they're going to follow you. I remember when my dad was dying, and I was going over there every day and seeing him. And I had a good relationship with my dad. I mean, we weren't as close as we probably could have been and should have been, but we were. But as I went over there every day for a year and a half and I sat down and watched him, didn't have any idea that some of my habits and hang-ups, and it scares Mona for me to say this, but some of my habits and hang-ups was a lot like my dad. I don't like bread. I'm not a big bread eater. How many of you ever heard me say that, especially those on Tuesdays? I'll eat bread, but I'm not a big bread eater. Dad didn't care anything about bread. He'd give other people his bread, but he was a big sweets eater. So he'd give them a bread, they'd give him his sweets, you know. I'm a big sweets eater. That's what I like too. Never knew that I got that from my dad. And it's some of the little quirks and quirks things that he would do, you know, that I would see in him, and I'd think, well, man, I'd do that, or I say that, or I act like that, you know. And I'd think, you know, and then I'd look at my brother, and you know, you always sit in somebody else more than you sit in mine. My brother, he's got this, he'd do things with his mouth, or he might do something with his hands, little quirky things, you know, and I'd think, man, that's just like dad. It's just like dad. You know, just like, you know, and so you really didn't understand how much of an influence and how much like him we really were until we spent that year and a half watching him die, you know. And it's really sad because I just never paid attention long enough to notice how much like I was. And so that's doing what? What it made me realize was, is, you know, he had a bigger influence on my life than what I thought he did. Amen. Well, let me tell you what, you are too. You are too. You're having influence on your life. And someone's influence in your family right now. And it ought to be you if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? 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 Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God, thanking you for the opportunity to serve you and thanking you that we're here in church today on Father's Day. God, there's a lot of other places we could be, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people doing a lot of other things, Lord. We could be at the lake. We could be hunting or fishing. We could be doing a lot of things. And there's a lot of good things we could be doing with our families. But God, help us never forget the most important thing we can do is, God, train them in a godly way. Let them know the importance of you and church and the Bible and the value of spiritual truths in our lives. And let that be what shapes our worldview, what we stand on. God, what we'll die for is the things of you, Lord. Because, God, it's a biblical principles that get us through this life, realizing, God, the best is yet to come. So, God, I don't know where each of us at as a dad. We fall in some kind of a category there, probably in one of those areas. But God, let it be an intentional dad that intentionally raises his family to glorify and honor you. And God, it's never too late to start that. Maybe for some, it's starting early, but maybe for some, it's starting late. But wherever it's at, God, let us start and let us depend on you to give us the words and the directions we need to go. God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Maybe you have a need in your life today. You need me to pray with you or pray for you or whatever situation might be in your life. But if you have a need, you come today, okay? Bill?